311. Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of the 311 radio show here on VOB 92.9. Trust you've been having a really good Sunday so far. Thank you so much for joining us as we chat with the Barbados Fire Service. I am Crystal J. Paul. Well, it's another weekend, and last week was a rather eventful one, but we want to say good afternoon to Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer Natasha Ford.
Hi, and a pleasant good afternoon to all.
And to Fire and Life Safety Officer Jason Collins.
Hi, good afternoon, Barbados.
Acting Sub-Officer Bishop of St. John.
Good afternoon, panel. Good afternoon, Barbados.
And we also have Station Officer Acting Wayne Vaughn.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone.
All right, wonderful, wonderful. Good to see you all today. And, you know, last week this time, I don't know, people were sweeping up and brushing up and cleaning up and battening back down and all kinds of things after an eventful weekend. We had Elsa pass through. She became a hurricane while over Barbados, thankfully, well. But, of course, she went on to our neighboring islands. And, you know, we just give thanks for the fact that we're not worse off, you know. So how have you been?
Well, I haven't been too bad. Just a little bit of the tail end fallout. As my colleague said, fell victim to the rain.
Yeah.
But other than that, I can say I am thankful. And I think we as a country need to be more than thankful, because considering what could have happened and considering what happened with only a Category 1, it could have been much worse had it been anything more impactful. You know, I hear people complaining about not having electricity, not having water. I think these are small commodities in the grand scheme of things. When you consider the places like Florida and those places who have gone through stuff like this before in a much bigger magnitude than we are, I think we got a chip of the iceberg, to be quite honest. We had some wind, we had some rain. Ironically, I didn't hear any thunder and see any lightning in this particular fiasco, which was good considering, you know. I mean, there's so much more that could have gone wrong last weekend. So I think we have a lot to be thankful for, all of us.
I think before this event, 2 weeks before that, we had the one with the thunder and the lightning, as you said. Yes. For me, honestly speaking, as you remember, a couple of years ago, we came on here. I think Bishop was as well. We spoke about our experiences in Tortola and Dominica. And honestly, gauging from that, what I would have seen well down there, those persons being without electricity and water for a considerable amount of time, Krista J, I am not complaining. I mean, at the end of the day, well, I don't think I should go a high water bill because it wasn't that much bathing going on. the bill shouldn't be too bad. Okay, you can't go any fridge much. But I mean, it teaches us again about the resilience of our people. I taught my daughter how to use a cup. It was a 17-ounce cups, two 17-ounce cups to get a shower.
Oh my. All right.
And I mean, we waste water. When you think about it realistically, we waste water.
Yes.
We don't advocate the candles, but persons going back to what was it? The technology that's there now, there are solar lights. So even after this had passed or before, we saw some of these lights in different hardware stores. These are things that we keep saying be prepared. So these are the things that you should be getting accustomed to. Stop looking for the rechargeable ones that if electricity goes out, they're giving you a 5 hour span or a 10 hour span. Electricity was out for way more than 5 hours in some cases and 10 hours. So what you had to resort for those persons who got the solar one. We had beautiful sunshine after all of this event. I mean, you see how excited I looked?
It was beautiful.
Nothing happened. I don't know if it was Elsa from the picture Frozen. I don't know who upset her, but you know that when Elsa goes off, you have a daughter, so you know what we're talking about.
Yes.
Jason and Bonnie, then we'll understand. We know that when Elsa went off, So I had to thank God, you know what? Somebody needed to calm her down. But realistically speaking, the event was kind of scary. Seeing how the trees were blown, I mean, it was to go down into somebody else's country and see the after effect. We weren't there while it was happening. But to see in your own, I was up, down from window to window looking at the whole stuff. And now I'm saying to myself, but if it started to come, we could do, Ella, they could get rope and tie it back down. And that's what we keep talking about, being prepared. And then the question is asked, could we ever be really prepared for something like this? And we would discuss that a lot more. I'll let Vaughn and Bishop at this point in time say hi.
Hi, good afternoon again. One of the things that I keep hearing us saying, and I don't know that we are fully aware of it, do you know that that system only remained a hurricane for 2 seconds over Barbados? Mm-hmm. 2 seconds. As a matter of fact, Mr. Best at the meteorological office and the guy in Trinidad are literally having back and forth as it relates to it, because he said it never became a hurricane.
Right.
And it did actually go over 70 kilometers for, because he said it must be for a second, and it was actually about 2 seconds that it went up there and then it creeped back down. So I'm just saying that to say that the implications for what can happen to us as a country if we don't take some stock right now and do some things differently. My favorite mantra is the height of madness, the height of total lunacy is to continue to do the same thing and expect a different result. Mm. And if Elsa taught nothing else, it says to me, we gonna need, and Justin is probably the only Barnes girl whom I know we're talking about being a cricketer like myself, we need to take a fresh guard. We are woefully underprepared, most of us, and I will tell you now that I'm glad to say that the only thing that I almost lost would have been my son's 10-foot trampoline that was outside. Fortunately for me, I threw the boat rope that I exercised with around it, and that held it from going over the thing and becoming a flying saucer.
Wow.
And I was out of water for maybe a day and a half and out of light for about 2 days. And, you know, I understand, I have an appreciation, being a trained individual like the rest of my colleagues, we understand the whole idea of being without. But there are people who up until 5, 6, 7 days were still without electricity. And my heart goes out to them, because outside of my dog, because we had to cook up quite a bit of the meat that we thought was beginning to go off. So he had a whale of a little time. But, you know, my heart goes out to all who was impacted, and some more severe than others. And we'll have an opportunity to talk about some of the things, because I spent the first night in the NEOC, which is the Emergency Organization Committee. And I will tell you now that some of the stories we heard were heart-wrenching.
Oh, okay. Officer Bishop, sub-officer.
Hi, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Barbados. One of the things that really impacted me after is some level of damage that I would have seen going out on the road to do some damage assessments in my area. So it was heart-wrenching to see some of the devastation. But one of the things that really stood out to me is something that I would have heard on the radio last week, where they spoke about building standards, building codes, construction. And definitely is something that we have to look at going forward. We have to build more resilient houses, because we cannot afford this type of damage going forward. It costs the country too much. It costs the insurance companies too much. And we need to be more resilient in our housing stock. We need to have a standard when it comes to building houses and have that standard policed, so that when these things happen, we can minimize the damage to housing stock in Barbados.
Well, that's a good point. And yes, that is something that, you know, will be top of mind even now. To think that it's only June into July, well, July really, the beginning of July, that we would have experienced this. And there are months, not even weeks, there are months left of the hurricane season. And it's predicted to be yet another busy hurricane season. Although we have been spared, we weren't spared this time. We got a little taste of what could be. So we need to be even more prepared. Perhaps that is something we can look at as it relates to construction, maybe in the 311 radio show in the months to come.
I quite understand where we're going with this and what we've seen. One of the things that we've been looking at, and as he said, he would have been on the ground, he would have seen a lot of the construction and such like. But when you drive around as well and you look, and you see some of these houses that were impacted, there are many factors. Yes, we are talking about the building code, but then for some reason, persons are also not recognized. You know what? This might more sound like a brass tack, stop it, forgive me. But at the end of the day, I think it still ties in. Sometimes we put our monies into people's hands and we expect that they're getting the correct material. Me and myself, I don't know what's a 2x4 from, 1x3 from, a 6x, whatever it is. And somebody comes to you, we can do this. They say, oh, I've built this, I've done that. Or you know them, or some handyman in the neighborhood. And you say to this person, okay, well, yes, this person see you doing some sort of construction, they're eager beaver to come and help. And they say, you know what? The material can cost this and this amount. They give you the list. And you, sometimes you put your money in people's hands and you said, well, you go ahead. I trust you to do this. But when you go back, and I can tell you this because I saw, I think there were three roofs that this happened to. When you looked at the material that these permaclads were on, if they were supposed to be using, what size the rafter is supposed to be? I need a technician or some sort of construction art. Vaughn, use a jack of all trades. So therefore, don't get him to build your house. He uses, if he's supposed to be using 2x3, and I'm just calling numbers, I'm not sure. This person decides to use 1x3. Cheaper material, so therefore what happens at the end of the day? You have cheaper material, you're seeing a lovely roof, you don't know what's underneath there, you're not aware of what the construction material is. But then when you have something like this passing, you see your roof take off like a book leaf. You trust persons to do what you think they're supposed to do. Persons decide that they're going to pocket the money. And I've heard a lot of people on programs getting the need to build better houses. I agree. Yes, we need to have a building standard. But sometimes we are not the ones who are building it ourselves. We are putting our monies in contractors' hands. And I'm not saying that all contractors. In everything, we have the good and we have the bad.
Right.
In some cases, we put our monies in families' hands. Mm-hmm. And these persons, they turn around and they burn us. It's okay to put on, yes, we're going to put on the hurricane straps and whatever else. Sometimes you hear these people call all these fancy names. But the thing is, I think it's about education, educating yourself to what these things are. When your building is going up, being there and looking to see what is going on. If you have questions, ask questions. Too many times we just step in at the beginning phase, we're paying out the money, we're looking for a home to live in, and then we just concentrate on the finished product. We're not aware of what is being used. We're not aware of what material is supposed to go where. So even if we have to look at a homeowner's guide, this is the safest, and everybody will find everybody has their own idea of what they think a sturdy roof is going to be. Or a gable, a hitch, and they call all sorts of fancy names. And sometimes you just sit down like, are you just not? Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. Uh-huh. But you have not the foggiest idea. So I think in a lot of this, education has to be a part of it. And those persons out there who know what is going on, educate people when they go into the lumber yard or whatever. Get along with the man, see what kind of lumber coming out. If it is that you have to look at the house, and sometimes, you know, you got the ever gypsy neighbor, you see that house going up there, look at the pitch, that picture right, or that wood that they use it, that. Listen and ask questions. Sometimes there's just a little bit of common sense in every, well, common sense, a little bit of, I don't know, theory, knowledge, mm-hmm. and what these people are saying. If you yourself are not sure, and it causes you to ask questions. So ask questions, like you go to a mechanic, you don't know, he sound like he just want to carry you money. Let's go to Vaughn. This is a song. That's all right. And if Vaughn give me an answer, I can go and ask somebody else. I just trust him. He want to entry opinions. That's where we need to get to, because we saw the effects of what happened here.
Yeah. Speaking of that too, you know, it's important to also check out who it is that you're going to use. Just like, you know, people are going to a job and the employer would do a background check. You know, go on Facebook and check out this person, any reviews, anything, you know. It's a pity we don't have that just yet in terms of, oh dear, I can't remember that site in the States where you can go and check out who it is that you're going to, okay. From a babysitter to a gardener to whoever. But, you know, check and see what kind of a trail, what kind of a reputation that person has, so that you know.
Remember, if you try to cut corners, if you want to save $500 here, you might save $500 here, but later on, you got to be out 5,000. So sometimes taking these shortcuts too, if that is what you're thinking, we depend again. Oh, this body recommend this person. Oh, they do a pretty good job at my house. So as you said, we don't follow up. We don't do our own research. It's Blake. Vaughn say to me, Bishop is a good carpenter. He did work for him. He sounded reasonable. All right, I can use him. That time Bishop in no diddly squat was a saw from a hammer. Not saying that he doesn't, but
right.
This is an example.
The,
Yes, go ahead, Officer Moore.
No, I was just thinking, though, that although I think we've highlighted and we've beaten to death the whole concept that we need to do things differently. And so what I would like to add to the discussion is some of the things that we may need to do going forward. You would recognize that a lot of the old homes, as in terms of the way they were constructed, might have been able to stand up to this weather. There's mid-70s style of roof, but there's one in my district. And every time there's bad weather, the guy spends the next 2 days hunting down the galvanized sheets and replacing it. And he's doing the same thing. And I explained to him what the issue is, but, you know, he doesn't seem to understand the concept. Now, if you have, I don't know the best way to describe him as a roof, it's two pieces of roof, and one is projecting over the other, but the one that's projecting over is to the wind side. And so what is happening is that the wind gets under it, picks it up, and blows it off every single time. My dad told me when he was a boy, him and some others had to run out, and I think it was one, the Hurricane Jeanette, or one of the others, and go and rescue the same fella's mom from that same house. They built the house the same place, doing the same things, and they're getting the same results.
Wow.
And to me, it's an easy fix in that they either have to either change the style of the roof or protect that part of the roof by putting, I don't know, a piece of piece of plywood upright. I can see the picture in my head, but I'm just thinking that we need to do things differently. One of the other things that I think that we do that a lot of people don't understand is that this whole idea of battening down the hatches. So we're expecting bad weather, we walk around, close every window and every door, but the house is not airtight. Let me put it that way. And so the air gets in, but it's not able to get out. So what you really should be doing is looking and see which direction the wind is blowing from and allow that wind to pass through. So you may need to open a window or door on the other side of where the wind is coming from, because you will see that the houses that look like they exploded. And that's exactly what happened. The wind got into them and built up, and then boom, the whole house exploded. And so person may need to look at that as a viable option. If the wind is coming into the house, you need to get out. So you may need to go and crack a window, or open a window or a door on the other side of the house that allows that wind to pass through. These twisted nails and galvanized nails are not the ideal way to put down a roof. You know, back in the day, we used to put down a roof with the galvanized nails, and we used to nail them in the what they call the up flue, because you don't want it to leak. If you nail it in the down flue, it's going to leak. And so you put the nail in the up flue, where it means that the nail, as much as the nail is not going through the wood as it should. Now they're putting on roofs with screws, and they put them down in the down flute because the screw has a rubber seal over it, and so it does not allow water to get in. Now if water gets under the nail and it softens the wood, that nail is going to come up the first high wind that you get. So there are a lot of little things, little, you know, incremental things that you can do that you can give yourself a better or a fighting chance in terms of being able to keep your roof in the event, or your home in the event something happens. You know, everybody's not rich enough or fortunate enough to be able to have a house that will withstand a Category 2 or a Category 3 hurricane, because we had a situation here with the Cat 1 and we had so many roofs that were blown off. And it's just the little subtle changes that we can change in the way we do things to get a better result.
I agree. And that is so good. And just what you're saying is so important to know as well. It's important to know these little bits of information, or to be able to check with somebody who we trust, who is knowledgeable. I don't know if we can check on Officer Wayne Vaughn, but, you know, we can probably, you know, check on somebody. I don't know what that was.
A galvanized sheet is wavy. So the up flute is the part that is what you would consider the part of
the ridges.
The ridges. There you go.
Jeez. So, you see, that's what we're saying.
The jargon.
The down flute. And this time I hear looking at her flute, that my daughter can play. She's going up in the air, then put it down.
Oh my word. But you know what? It's good information. It's good to know. Yes, so, you know, in terms of just continuing to be prepared, Barbados, we want to encourage everyone to continue to be prepared, still stock up on the canned foods. Thankfully, since Hurricane Elsa, there have been two tropical waves that have not affected us, and we are thankful for that. As of this recording, there was one death reported in Florida from Hurricane Elsa, and you know, we just see the devastation there. I think of even the island of Dominica and the beating that they got from Hurricane Maria, and months without electricity. And I think of things like this, and I say, okay, it puts things into perspective. And so, you know, it brings you back to the place of Thanksgiving, because you know, it's not as it could have been, really. But believe it or not, we just have about 7 minutes left in the program. Yes. And I know that there are some things that you really would have wanted to let Barbados know as well. But I want to know how things were during Hurricane Elsa for the fire officers, if there was any damage sustained or anything. Would you be able to let us know on that?
I will jump in here, though, and I will say that I must commend the members of the Barbados Fire Service, because what would have happened is that we would have experienced Elsa touching down or passing over us right about the time when there would be a change of shift. And so what you had happen was the shift that had done what we call the 14-hour work in the shift. So they'd done 14 hours of shift and would have been going home at 8:30 in the morning, ended up being at work for a substantial period of time after that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fact that they would have been away from home, and then most times, most of them didn't have electricity, so there was no way of talking to the families. You know, some of the phone lines and so on weren't working. Mm-hmm. Cell phones and all sorts of things started at first. And I think that my guys, they bonded together. They did extremely well. We had one or two of them that came out on the other end that wasn't, you know, it wasn't superb. Some of them had some effects at their homes and so on, and they were able to put that aside. There was one officer who actually literally came to work the next day, although he had suffered significant impact at his home. And those are the type of things that I think makes the fire officer such a special type of person. Maybe I'm a little biased, but I just think that the fire officer did tremendously well under these circumstances, and they must be commended. And you know, during this period, fires didn't stop. I tell you, we probably responded to, and I know Natasha may have the cigarettes, but I'm pretty certain that we responded to at least 60 or 70 pool fires. As the
60?
What? We had them coming in fast. And wow. There were a lot of them. A lot of them. You got, and you can understand that we're in a predicament where the electricity and water don't work. Mm-hmm. And I know there was one instance where the officer at the scene literally summoned on our ladder truck, and he took some fire extinguishers because the pole was burning to that significant effect where he thought to take some action. And we were able to bring that to some level of...
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. He's frozen. He's frozen. No, he's Elsa.
Elsa. So one of the other things, too, while we were going through that, I don't think many people knew they had a fire as well in Bridgetown. So, yes, there would have been the hurricane and the bad weather and all of that, but officers were there battling. That's Bolton Lane?
I think Bolton Road.
Just behind Cave Shepherd, Sajim. Officers were there battling a blaze that could have gone a different way. But again, because of the skills, persons deploying knowledge that they would have had, training, going into effect, they were able to contain the fire to just that one area. Yes, some of the other occupants of the building would have, of course, received some smoke damage. Well, not smoke damage. The areas are filled with smoke. They have a new perfume. Yes. So if you walk through, you would see some of them with the areas just open, trying to air out the places and such like. But one emergency doesn't stop another. As you recognize, COVID is here and other things have been going on, and the officers have had to respond. It's not a break. It's not to say that they said Elsa was coming. And that's what we keep telling persons. One emergency doesn't stop because another one is already here. And people need to recognize that. People need to be able to, you know what? Be self-sufficient. Do things that, you know, are going to lessen the impact on you, that are going to mitigate the chances and reduce the occurrence of fires, any incidents that you know of. I know in the past couple of weeks, some Officer Bishop and the team would have been talking a lot about the wells and such like. And in that, there was also a house fire last week, which we will get back to that. I'm hoping to have the guys next week who would have dealt with the fire at Satjay Mall on the show to talk about that and the experience of that. We also had a lady here the other day, a house in St. Peter. I think S.O. Vaughn, he would have responded to that. Lady got burned. And again, this is when I did my investigations. Apparently she was, you know how elderly persons like to bathe in alcohol, like to rub up with alcohol, especially when they're not feeling well or whatever the case is. And she went to the stove to turn off the stove and poof, that was it.
Wow.
And because of that, she caught the house on fire. She was on fire, I guess, in her trying to get it off of her. Lord, yes. Paint the picture from there. So right. Then we end up then with a house fire. So I'm not going to steal Vaughn's thunder. He would have the officer who would have been there, who would have responded to that. It just starts this brain to find out what it is that occurred, what would have happened. He hasn't gotten back to me with all the information, and they just put it out there for everybody to hear.
Yes, it's all a part of the love and the camaraderie. Oh my. Well, you know what? We would love to hear that. I don't think Officer Vaughn is forthcoming with that information at this point in time, but maybe at some point, you know. But I want to say thank you very much for the lessons that you've taught us once again in another edition of the 311 Radio Show. And we wish the Barbados Fire Service continued best as you carry out your duties, storm or no storm, and, you know, just continue to do what you're doing. Thank you very much. So that's Station Officer Acting Wayne Vaughn. Thank you for being with us, sir.
Divisional Officer
Acting. Oh, Divisional Officer. No. Oh, I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. All yeah, right.
Thank you for Hollywood.
Divisional Officer Wayne Vaughn, thank you. And Acting Sub-Officer Bishop for St. John. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, and you're welcome.
All right. Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer Natasha Ford.
Thank you.
And Fire and Life Safety Officer Jason Collins.
Thank you also.
All right. Thank you so much. And I'm Krista J. Paul. And that's it for the 311 Radio Show today. Join us again next week, same time, right here on VOB 92.9 FM for the next edition. And as we always say,
fire prevention is our intention. Have a good week, Barbados.
Thank you.